Welcome to This Just In, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to This Just In. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Just In studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. For this episode, my 207th episode, I'm continuing with my new format, highlighting the most recent headlines and research covering the latest healthcare trends, as well as strategies. I use this format inside of each of my think tank sessions, but I also wanted to share this with my broader audiences. This is also a peek inside the content that I'll be discussing at the Technology Association of Georgia's Healthcare Think Tank in September, coming up here shortly. Excitedly, I also have a very special guest today, Roberta Mullen, station manager of Healthcare Now Radio, as well as our editor of Answers Media Network. Welcome back to the show, Roberta.
Justin, always love coming back.
It's always great to have you here. You, well, first of all, you're a good friend, a phenomenal friend, and technically the founder of this show. I think people who have heard our shows before know that you kind of pitched this to me in such a phenomenal way. And to be honest, I even got a comment last week when someone, I was talking to somebody and they saw the radio show and they said, how'd you come up with that great name? And I'm like, I cannot take pride of authorship. This is all Roberta Mullen. She pitched it to me and she knew what she was doing. This just in, you know, great play on words. It was just so relevant and perfect. So thank you for that, Roberta.
Yeah, well, you started our station and you're the oldest voice. Show on the network now. And yeah.
So I'm the oldest and fastest voice in healthcare.
Yeah. Maybe not that. Yeah. The show's the oldest. You personally are not the oldest. I can attest to that.
There you go. Cool. So I was excited that you, agreed to join the show today. And you know, you have a really cool perspective. I call it your perch in the industry in what you're seeing, because obviously you read a lot. But more importantly, you know, you have a lot of people come across all your networks and your media outlets. And so you just really see what's on the front tip and the spear of this industry and what we're talking about, how we're navigating it. And so I was excited that you would participate in the show today. So let's kind of jump off and I would, you know, ask you a question. We can go bounce back and forth. I'll certainly talk about some of the think tank content, even I'm going to share next week. But yeah, please let us know, you know, what are you seeing in the industry from your perspective?
Well, you know, our industry being health IT, lots of times gets buried under healthcare overall. And right now we're in COVID. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
And of course, treatments and vaccine for COVID right now are really sucking up the air when it comes to news and what's coming across. But on our side, there's a lot of interesting studies and reports that are coming through that I think numbers that actually make us look at health IT on the side of COVID too. I just want to do a little disclaimer. I'm going to talk about three different reports that came out, and I'm not getting paid from any of these companies, but you're welcome for me. Yeah. You're welcome that I'm mentioning you.
Exactly.
Okay? The first one that I thought was really interesting, Kaufman Hall, everybody knows them. Mm-hmm. They're the management consulting people. They did recently a national hospital flash report of more than 800 hospitals. 800 hospitals, good tick off our, 6,100 hospitals that we have. A lot of numbers, a lot of information on hospitals and their operations. Through July, their headline news to this report was hospitals operating margins down 96% through July.
Wow.
So you take from, and they're talking about comparing from last year. Yeah. So 2019, 2020 through July, operation margins were down 96%. Nobody wants to see those numbers.
No.
I mean, that's what happened. That's what COVID did. Yeah. Now they're saying now that since July, it's ticking up a little bit, and that's because non-emergent services are back in.
Yes.
Another number that was quite obvious, volumes in emergency departments, hardest hit through July. But just full of numbers and a lot of good insight on what's happening to hospitals. It's, it's a Kaufman Hall. It's free. It's not gated. You don't even have to put your address or your email in. So go out and check that one out. The next one I thought was kind of interesting in our industry. Everybody's talking about telehealth. Of course, that's obviously gotten the big boost. But the other thing that's gotten the big boost was is e-prescribing. Surescript just put a report out because people can't go into the doctor. Doctors can't write them scripts. They can't go to the pharmacy. So e-prescribing right now in August, Surescript said that they now have 1 million prescribers. That would be the providers that are now using e-prescribing. And that started at the beginning of the year at 250,000.
Wow.
That's a big jump since January. So that's another part of our industry that got a huge, huge bump. And then, of course, the king of the report people are KLAS. Mm-hmm. And KLAS just put out a research report on vendor performance in response to COVID.
Okay.
So that was kind of interesting in the fact that one of the questions that they asked, and so remember that KLAS asks when they do their surveys, they do providers and hospital organizations, kind of split them out when they do different information. But they asked them both, like, what solutions are your organizations looking for? What are they relying on to help them through COVID?
Yeah.
Of course, not everybody knows telehealth, of course, is the first one. But the second one was AI.
In what regard? Yeah.
In the regard that what they're asking, what are you looking for to help you through COVID?
What are the
solutions, right, that you're looking for, your organization? And first of all, everybody way out front is telehealth. But the second one was AI. They're looking for those solutions because, again, nothing's changed. We have a lot of data that people just don't know what to do with at this point.
On that last point, we are so, and I think Think Tank 5, Intel actually presented in that think tank. And one of their findings from the past year was that care providers, because you wouldn't think of this, but specifically doctors actually were actively exploring how to use AI for a lot of the daily tasks and the more mundane tasks and to let them use their expertise in better areas. And that was a little surprising because you'd think that doctors would be adverse to anybody messing with their care strategy because it's their care strategy. It's how they practice medicine in the last 20 years or 15 years or 30 years. But they actually wanted AI. And so I think that backs up what you just said there is they were actively seeking, how can artificial intelligence help my practice, help me be a better doctor, help me provide better care. So it was,
They're starting to trust in it and they're starting to see some outcomes and results that work with it. So they're looking for solutions. Yep. The other interesting numbers that came out of that report were, the question was organization technology purchasing impact. Okay. Mm-hmm. This would be asking the hospitals, asking the providers, what's your budgets now? 30% have dramatically cut their cost of health IT spending. 30%.
Wow.
Not a good number.
No.
And then the other number that I thought was really shocking was 26% are not considering future healthcare investments right now.
That could be tough. I mean, as you try, well, I don't doubt that. So I want to touch on one other point. Then I want to attack that because that actually feeds into some of what I'm seeing in the industry as well, for sure. But I'm trying to navigate past it and help the market. But number one, go back to your stats of where 96% of their operating margin is down. Well, I think you saw that as a MedPAC report from just a few days ago that talks about how right now, because of COVID in the pandemic, that the Medicare Trust Fund could be insolvent by within 4 years. I mean, by 2025, or it might. Yeah, I think 2025. So that's alarming because usually we're always a decade or 15 years off from insolvency. That's something I've worked on for the past 20 years of how to obviously keep our Medicare Trust Fund fully funded and solvent. And so when you're looking at insolvency here in 4 years from now, that's scary because of what's happened. And now you just kind of bring it up again from the operating margins down. But these health systems are still needing money. I mean, they're still needing to pay out. You saw a lot of these incentives and just life rafts or life preservers being sent out by the federal government trying to help care providers across the board. So I've seen this.
Hospitals got two infusions in the last within the last year. One from Cures Act, some money came through there, and then of course the pandemic COVID aid. But it still didn't bring the numbers up to where it should be. It shows that non-urgent care is the services that hospitals live on.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. And the other part that I wanted to address, because you brought it up well, is how they expect for spending to be down 30% or so. And I completely agree. And I see that. The only thing that I see, though, further is I watch the larger organizations. Now, obviously, they may be able to afford it. I understand that concept. But I see the larger organizations say 25 doc, 100 doc, 1,000 doc, 15,000 doctor organizations making a lot of these essential investments in virtual care, in fully integrated telehealth, remote patient monitoring, and virtual care platforms, and to optimize mm-hmm. their consumer strategies, to optimize their patient engagement and patient empowerment. But what I'm not seeing are those smaller practices. And those investments are critical to navigating the future of healthcare, at least successfully.
I don't even see how they're going to stay alive if they're
exactly.
not.
Exactly.
26% are not considering future healthcare investments. That's just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's a
quarter of them.
Yeah. That's the fast way to go out of business. I mean, unfortunately, and I get the financial strains that are out there, but this is your livelihood. This is what you've invested the last 15, 20, 30 years of your life into. And now you could make a real strategic mistake here on not looking for the right solutions and opportunities for you to enlarge your patient base, not kind of hunker down and let it get picked off and picked away, because that's what I'm seeing. And I've done numerous radio shows now mm-hmm. trying to plead to the industry to say, hey guys, certainly these care providers, these organizations, please take this seriously, please navigate consumerism. And I'm going to, here in a moment, I'll even cover you some of the latest stats from the last week or two that I've been able to come up with through the think tank on what people are actually doing. But yeah, I focus a lot of my airtime just saying, hey guys, you got to take this seriously. You got to look at how patients are making decisions now, where they're seeking trust in their healthcare, how they're changing their buying patterns, because it's going to be the have and the have nots. And I just, for 20% to 25% of the market to go out of business or not successfully navigate how the market is changing is devastating. Right. I've been working so hard at this for so long to help so many people, and it's tough.
And that feeds into the last point of the class research. Of course, you can't read a class review without, I call it their praising and shaming. Yeah, so the vendors who are and are not stepping up, their reviews come from the surveys that from the providers and the hospitals. So they have, who I'm not going to name any names. You can go out and get the report.
Right.
There they are. But those are what I thought were interesting. Like I said, treatment, vaccines, really sucking the air out right now, but in our little thing. But I think these are astonishing numbers that really show and tell you some maybe not so good future.
Right. Well, it's not good for some people who choose not to evolve, because I mean the famous adage, evolve or die. So I mean that's the truth, and so my world is growing exponentially. Because I am taking this all to heart. I am engaging where the future of healthcare is going. And so I'll cover some of that, because again, this is where, how healthcare has shifted. And again, I've done numerous radio shows, and we have the think tank coming up next week where I'll share a lot of this as well. But how important it is to ensure that you have telehealth integrated into your care strategy, not just for episode, not just for, I can do telehealth just to get through this pandemic, and then I'm gonna go back to my normal, seeing every patient in person. It's not about that anymore. You can't go back to that model. And I realize that you may not do the exact same amount of telehealth that you did in April or May or June, but you have to ensure that you have evolved your care strategy. So you have, there are specific visits that you can do virtually. And that would make a lot of sense financially to pack in, say, six to whatever, every specialty is different and everybody's care strategy is a little bit different for sure. But there are many specialties where you can fit in, 4 to 5 to 10 virtual visits in an hour, and you do all of those virtually. And then you have, your set schedule. So say 10 to 12 every Tuesday and Thursday morning, you see a handful of virtual visits. They're all done virtually. And now again, those visits might be 5 minutes. Those visits could be 10 minutes. Those visits could be 15, could be 20, whatever is right for your care strategy and your specialty and what problems you're trying to solve for your patients. but you have blocks of time carved out just for virtual visits every week. And then you have regular in-person visits. And then I do want to touch on how the market is shifting and patients are shifting and what they want to see in their care providers. And I'll touch on that here later on. But you got to make sure that you carve up your care strategy so you are integrating telehealth and again, and remote patient monitoring, and that you have a full remote care management strategy. And again, this all should be integrated on one single platform because you can't worry about integrating all these different products. You don't have the time and bandwidth. I don't care if you're a one doctor practice or a 10,000 doctor organization or 20,000 doctor organization or larger. You've got to have, you know, care providers and organizations are looking for longitudinal records that are fully integrated. And that have that can integrate the entire care strategy all the way from the EHR out to all that patient engagement, including the digital front door, out to the telehealth, out to the remote patient monitoring, the remote care management, and the virtual care in general, all on a single platform. That's what care providers are demanding. That's what they're seeking today, and they're purchasing today. And so, I want to make sure everybody sees that, because that's what, you know, a lot of our research, and we get into our think tanks and we ask these organizations. And again, we have organizations all sizes. We have one doctor groups all the way up to, I mean, however those largest in the country are. So
what are you telling them about the laxed HIPAA requirements for telehealth? Telling them about the future of that?
Well, for the most part, well, first of all, I don't believe it's going to stay laxed forever. We're in this emergency period. Some smaller organizations certainly are taking it to heart, and it's great because it worked. They can do FaceTime or they can do whatever they want to do. It may not be secure and it's certainly not HIPAA compliant, but there's some relaxations for you to go off and do it. That's fine and understandable. I don't recommend it because I think you're going to get more in a more complex care environment, trying to provide patient, the best care through that. Obviously, if you're in an emergency situation, it's perfectly fine in this current environment, but most of the organizations, even some of the larger ones, I mean, the most that I dealt with, 80% of that I dealt with, 90%, all just went to a HIPAA compliant telehealth RPM virtual care strategy. So they were already ready. They're already thinking this direction. And then when it hit, they moved in that direction very quickly. There are a couple of larger organizations that did decide to deploy Skype or other non HIPAA compliant modalities for a very short period of time, maybe six weeks, maybe 4 weeks, maybe 2 weeks. Just to see those important patients, those visits that had to happen and they could not happen in person. So the advice that I gave to them was, hey, do what you have to do to survive as an organization, but don't never take your eye off the ball of where you need to go. So, and to protect yourself and your organization and your patients.
Yeah, I think that needs to be pushed out a little bit more because I read the people that are on their soapbox saying that it will never go back. They're going to keep it like this. I don't know if they have any HIPAA history in their toolbox, but
right.
I don't think it's going to stay this way forever.
Yeah, I don't think it will. I can't imagine it will. I mean, could it for the next 6 months? Could it for the next year? For sure.
Yeah.
But also it has one major breach, one major issue, and then we know the world will fall. The sky will fall on that. So we'll see how it all goes.
Okay. What do you want to talk about next?
Well, yeah.
Innovation?
Yeah. I mean, I think I would actually love to ask you a question again. Again, you have so many cool topics come across. So, what are some of the most interesting, your specific radio shows? What are you seeing that receiving the most interest and most interactions?
Okay. Yeah. That was, I know you sent that to me for a question. So I did a little research. I thought that was an interesting question. First disclaimer, I do own this radio station, so I do get paid from them, right?
Yep.
And I just wanted to give a little plug. Healthcare Now Radio now is getting 36,000 listeners a month, and our online podcast and
awesome.
On-demand shows are playing 27,000 a month now. So it's become a good network. Like we said, Justin's show is one of the original shows, and thank you for that. But I did some research for the summer and said, like, okay, so what were the hot topics of the episodes that came up mostly played? And in the end, I was not surprised. Here, the three top ones were patient engagement, value-based care, and telehealth.
Yep. Excellent.
Are you surprised?
Yeah, no. Not at all. The things I've loved for many, many years. That's great.
Right, right. Patient engagement. I mean, everybody's trying to figure this out. How, you know, the different generations, whatever. How do you get your whole population of patients and satisfy them at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll actually weave that into even some of the things. So we hosted a mini think tank a few weeks ago. Just a handful of us came together, you know, not quote unquote post COVID because we're still in COVID, but really, you know, how has the market shifted? How has patient purchasing changed and consumerism, has it evolved? And to your point, it has. And so a couple of things I'll call out is how organizations need to evolve even their research, because a lot of the like HCAPs are done in the rears and looking in a rearview mirror. And there's a big recommendation from a lot of the thought leaders in the industry that understand patient marketing and how to engage consumerism and patient engagement in general, is that you got to figure out how to do more real-time surveying with your patients. And because you got to stay on top of those demands as these behaviors have shifted. For example, trust. Patients have right now a lot of fear. Fear of COVID, fear of obviously the coronavirus and what it means to their personal health, fear of going into an environment that may not be safe. And so promoting that you do have a safe environment, promoting your safety protocols and procedures around the coronavirus and the pandemic, and rebuilding that trust. And if you aren't engaging in this in a real, I would say, focused manner, you could confuse your patients, or you don't even realize that you may be losing your patients to another care provider who is beginning to build that trust, does have that engagement. And that's again why you got to engage these technologies, because somebody is that patient is going to seek care. They may not be seeking it back with you. Even though they've gone to you for 20, 15 years, 5 years, 2 years, 20 years, whatever, they may not come back to you because of trust. Trust is now risen way up to the top around the whole fear of the pandemic, and trust that you have a clean environment, that you can provide the right care, how they want to seek it, how they want to absorb it via virtual visits. They don't necessarily want to be there in person all the time. That's the big thing is, we're not going back. Again, we may not have all the telehealth visits that we had in June, but you do need to offer telehealth visits. You need to offer virtual visits. You need to figure out how to integrate that into your care strategy, and patients are demanding that. So please do hear that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that trust just goes back to what we just talked about, HIPAA. When all this dust settles and everything else, HIPAA is about trust.
Yep. It is. Exactly. Yeah. Great, mm-hmm. great point. And also the reimbursement models. You've got to look at how you can thrive in this new world with telehealth, with remote patient monitoring. How can you engage your patients? There are incentives at the state level. There's incentives with your local payers at the regional level and the federal level, of course, Medicare. So the remote patient monitoring is one of the biggest areas that we can really look to capitalize on and really to pivot your organization. It's all about pivoting. When you're running a business, you've got to pivot with the environment. If you don't, again, evolve or die. So,
Right. How about some innovation? All this Debbie Downer stuff.
Right. Well, I think, very excitedly. I mean, I think it's important. And I know we've only got about a minute left here before we got to close the show. But I mean, I think very importantly is to look at how are you using innovation. And again, this is very positive to me. How are you going to use innovation to navigate? So how are you integrating these virtual visits? How are you realigning your schedule? How are you making it easier for patients to engage your practice and manage that engagement successfully? Allow them to seek care when and where they want to. They're willing to pay for it. It certainly can be reimbursed in almost every care model at this point. So how are you evolving with that? And there's so much technology to support that, and to really look for those products that are fully integrated, that you shouldn't have a separate remote patient monitoring system from your telehealth, and then your remote care management should not be separate from that. It should be one single platform. Patients want that. They want a seamless experience. And again, it goes back to the experience. And then also they want to be treated as individuals. And so that's where a lot of the marketing and innovation is shifting. Whereas patients want individual care, they want to build individual trust with the organization, and technology can support that. They don't want to be mass marketed to with this generic message. And so again, this is all technology. So these are all real positives for technology if you want to successfully navigate the future. But we are
on the other on the other side of innovation. You're out there in the business side, the capital side. Yeah. Is there money? Are people investing in it on that side?
more than ever before. Now, obviously, it is tough to be on the small angel investing side, trying to gather money. And if you're a small cap, but yeah, if you've got a somewhat successful organization, there's so much money out there because people are pouring money into these innovators. To be honest, I know they are because I'm in the middle of all those conversations. So it's a phenomenal time to be raising capital if you have a model that's somewhat proven. It doesn't mean fully proven, but somewhat proven. But at that, we
How
are
about
at
the
time.
Big mergers.
I'm at time.
Roberta.
All right. But thank you, everybody. We will do another show on some of these mergers because they're in some ways they're crazy. We'll see if they pay off. But anyhow, thank you for everybody for taking the time to join us today. Please join us weekdays at 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. And you can always track me at HIT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustinRadio so we can respond to your comments from the show. All my content's posted on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. And thank you, everyone, and have a terrific week.